It's good to see everybody here tonight. I'm going to give you a brief outline of what the format will be tonight so that everybody understands what we're going to do. We have two speakers, Jenny Ramsey and Susie Basham. Jenny Ramsey will be going first. Each speaker will speak about 10 minutes, and then they'll have about 10 minutes to take questions. When that is finished, Brian Varble is going to get up and give a little talk about what we do here. Both ladies have offered to stay afterwards, so if all the questions aren't answered, they will be available afterwards. I will be watching the clock and cutting people off. It must be why Brian asked me to do this, because he thought I could handle it. They both graciously agreed to stay afterwards, so if they can't get through all the questions, I'm sure you'll be able to get your questions answered when we're finished. First, we're going to have Jenny Ramsey, and she is the co-founder of the Catholic Action Center and the Community Inn. Their motto is to fill in the gaps of the most marginalized in our community. The Catholic Action Center has been serving the homeless for 12 years. This was developed, it came into being in 1995. The mayor has asked Jenny to be on the Faith and Community Task Force. The Catholic Action Center and eventually the Community Inn are products of this visionary team. Jenny was born and raised in Frankfurt. She went to Brescia College in Owensboro, and she moved to Lexington in 1970. Before her mission work, she spent 30 years as a tax accountant. I know we have some here in the audience, so you know there's a life after tax accounting. She has been married for 41 years, and she is a member of Christ the King Church. Before she comes up, as she's speaking and as you think of your questions, one of the things that Bill Wilson said to us as Calvary Baptist Church, if we were to be the best friends that we could be to the homeless or to God's pantry, what is it that we should be doing? And that's what these two ladies are here tonight to share with us, is what should we be doing to be best friends to these groups? So with that, Jenny Ramsey, you're on the clock.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here. I feel like that we go way back. I mean, I know we do. When we first started the Faith and Community Task Force, Calvary Baptist was part of it. And that was all in response to the needs as the changes were occurring in welfare to work. And that's dating me and Bob, but that's okay. The Catholic Action Center, as many of you know, because you've been involved in different ways, is an all-volunteer group. We do not accept any federal, state, or local funding because it would limit who we can serve. And we're all volunteers. So that's the key. When we first began this, the group, we realized we were going to have to walk in faith. That if this was the work we were to do, when we opened the doors on June 17th, 2000, at 400 East 5th, we realized that it was either going to be God's work or the doors would be closed. We had no budget. I'm a tax accountant. That was hard. We still have no warehouse full of food waiting to be served. We learned very quickly that if we do our due diligence and we all come together, we can make a difference in the lives of those who are the most marginalized. Now, Judy McLaughlin, who is co-director, co-founder, and there are hundreds of people with us, from our core volunteers who spend anywhere between 20 to 30 hours a week, there are 40 of those folks. And each year we have over 10,000 volunteers. Many, your youth come, you know, Calvary's always had a lot of folks involved in the ministries in the inner city with the Catholic Action Center. But we did realize that it was going to have to be, God's will for us to stay open, that we were simply going to be there and to try to do respond to what the community wanted to do for those who were most in need. When I say those most in need, that they're words, I really want to tell you the story of at least one of our friends, and it's Tim. Because Tim was there the first day we opened the Catholic Action Center. And when I went down there this afternoon, there was Tim. So 12 years later, almost 12 years later, he's still there every day. The difference is that when Tim first came to the Catholic Action Center, when we opened, he came and sat in the corner. And breakfast was served at 9 o'clock. We have never changed our times. We have had the same times for the meals since June of 2000. 9 a.m. breakfast, 12 o'clock lunch, 5:30 dinner. Important for the folks on the street to know when they can expect to eat. Well, Tim would come in at 9, when we would open at 8, and he would come in at 9 and sit there until 9 and then get up, get his food, go back to the same chair, and eat his breakfast. Everybody would be milling around, folks coming and going, asking questions, being connected to social services, anything that the folks needed, taking showers, using the restroom, using the phone, getting their mail. All these things happen every day at the Catholic Action Center. Watching TV, playing cards, playing dominoes, the favorite of the street. And Tim would just sit there in the corner. Well, lunch would come, and Tim would get up and get lunch. He'd go back and sit in the corner and eat his lunch. I really don't think he even took potty breaks. He always seemed to be in that corner unless he snuck off to the restroom when we weren't looking. And when it came to 7 o'clock at night after dinner, when he'd done the same thing, gotten up, gotten his plate, not said a word to anybody, he would eat. He would be the last one out the door, and people would always say, "Hey, how you doing? Have a good evening." Tim always had the same response. That response was, "Hmm." Well, you know, when people don't want, when we're a ministry of presence, we're simply there to accept folks however they are. So when people don't want anyone to enter into their space, to hear their story, to try to lift them up from where they are, we don't do it. I mean, it is not us to judge. As Mother Teresa said, if we lead with judgment, we'll never get to love. And with Tim, we knew that we would continue to ask, and sometimes we would get a but that's it. About 6 months after the Catholic Action Center opened its doors, and at that time it was 8 in the morning to 7 at night, which, by the way, it's back to that now because of the Community Inn. No more 24 hours a day there, 8 in the morning to 7 at night. But one evening, meal was getting ready to start. There is Tim sitting in the corner, and everyone who would come in would say, "Oh, that's that guy's place." Nobody would ever take Tim's chair. Of course, he wouldn't get up, so anybody could get it either. This man came in, and he said, walked in, and I'm sitting at the desk, and he said, "Well, I haven't been here before, and I just wanted to see what this place is like." And we said, "Welcome. We're getting ready to have dinner." And he said, "Oh, my God, there's Tim Scruggs," and points to this man who's been sitting in the corner. And I said, "You know him?" He said, "Oh, yeah. I lived in this neighborhood all my life. So did Tim." He said, "That is, till his mama died." He said, "Tim never was right. Nobody knew what was wrong with him. But he got a check, and when his mama died, he disappeared." And then they come to find out, he said, that his mama died, and people came and banged on the door to find Tim, and he didn't answer the door. Mail came, and it was overflowing. Checks were left in the mailbox. The lights got turned off. And people would bang on the door, and finally the fire department came and broke in the door looking for Tim. The young man who was the sole survivor of Mrs. Scruggs, who died. A month later, they did this. Tim wasn't there. He became an urban legend. The truth is, he didn't know, he couldn't hear. That's what had been the matter with Tim Scruggs. He could not hear. His mama took care of him all those years. And he couldn't hear when people were banging on the door and when we were saying, "Hey, how are you?" He never went to school. She hid him from all the pain that could have been caused, her only child. He didn't know how to cash checks and pay rent and pay the utilities, so he was out. He just, one day, they said he picked up a few things of clothes, stuffed them in a backpack, and took to the streets. And nobody had seen Tim Scruggs for over 2.5 years, till that gentleman came in and said, there he is. Tim had a story, as we all do, as each and every one of our guests do. And he needed just a little help. Tim lives at St. James Place now, and he comes to the Catholic Action Center every day because we were able to get some hearing for him through the modern medicine and wonderful way doctors at St. Joseph that gave their time to work so that Tim Scruggs could re-enter into society. He has his own place. He is in charge of our dishwasher. Nobody but Tim Scruggs can touch it because he'll still say, get away from my dishwasher. But he can speak now. And Tim says, when people say, why do you come down here and wash all these dishes, these 450 to 600 meals a day, and he's washing all the dishes? And they say, why do you do this? And he says, because this is my family. And that's what we are at the Catholic Action Center. And that's what we are at the Community Inn, because since April of this year, we were able to not have the center open 24 hours a day, but be able to have a place where people can have dignity. Some of you all helped us with the WEG shelter that we did at Central Christian. And that was what showed us the difference. When people have an air mattress, as you all do room at the inn, we have 75 people every night at the Community Inn, men and women, who have no place else to sleep. I had a call today from a woman who had just had surgery at UK, and unless we tell her she could have an air mattress at the Community Inn, she had no place else to go. And as we said, but wait, it's still the streets. But she said, will you take me back and forth to the Catholic Action Center? Can I stay there during the day? And will people watch out for me? I don't have any family. And of course the answer is yes. Because the greatest gift we have at the Catholic Action Center is the fact that we're able to see and interact and serve and get to know and be served by what many call the least of our brothers and sisters. People who have been forgotten because of mental illness, because of, you know, behavior problems, because like Tim, he'd never communicate. But they're there, and they are all God's children. And whether it be a 74-year-old, one-legged Vietnam veteran that came to us last week that makes me angry that he's been living on the streets, I wish he'd come earlier, and we're so proud that we have him in a house now. Whether it be our Divine Providence Way House that The Rock has helped us with all these years, allowing our men who live there to come and get physical activity, which is part of them working toward wholeness. Our whole thing is not to judge, though. People will say, why don't you have more programs? Well, at the Community Inn, we do. At night, folks can take computer classes. They can have Bible study classes. 5 nights a week, we have Bible study. We have AANA. We have the space there, and we can offer those things, both housing clinics, employment clinics, computer medical clinic. All of that goes on at the Community Inn that couldn't go on at the Catholic Action Center. So we're able to give the Tims a chance to see a nurse practitioner and find out what the problem is. We're able for Doug, who is a 58-year-old graduate of Wharton Business College School, the University of Pennsylvania. Who would think that man would spend 2 years on the streets of Lexington, too ashamed to talk to his family, too depressed to get help? But now he has. Being able to offer people hospitality, which is the Catholic Action Center and the Community Inn, gives that entry, allows people not to be judged, allows people to share their brokenness, their barriers, and allows us to reach our hand out and say, child of God, we can do this together. Now, do all of them accept that? Oh, of course not. If they did, you know, we'd have world peace taken care of, you know. But I will say there are hundreds and hundreds and thousands over these 11-plus years that have affected me so much. When people say, why do you work for nothing? And I say, no, it's not for nothing. You don't understand. So I invite each and every one of you, in the way that Calvary can be involved, is to meet our people. Come get involved. A group came down to the community inn. You saw how wonderful it is. It is their living room. It is their home. And 58 of those people since April 2nd do really have a new home. 33 have full-time jobs, all because of the classes and clinics and people connecting. The human spirit needs people who care. Your caring, your prayers, your connections, whether it be a shower minister at the community inn, whether it be serving a meal at the Catholic Action Center, whether it be Calvary night where you play cards with the folks, or dominoes if you dare. They're the best in town, I'm telling you, at the community inn. No gambling, of course. We wouldn't allow it anyway. But I don't have to say that in a Baptist group, sorry. I forgot who I was talking to. Yeah. But there's so many ways, each and every one of you, and you want to know how to get your kids involved. That was a question. You can bring your children. We can do that. But I'm going to say, number one, come to the Opera House Friday night. Come to the Opera House. And you're saying, what? Yeah, we have the final production of our Please Don't Call Me Homeless, I Don't Call You Homed. Any age child can come. You know, they can hear it, they can see it. We have done this for grade school, high school, in fact, all the Governor Scholars in the state last year. The play that we keep saying will never end, but it is. It is a new production. If you saw it last fall when we did it for the 10th anniversary of the Catholic Action Center, it's new, and it is gripping. And we are focusing on our veterans as for our grand finale, as we're calling it. Our homeless men and women, some of the people that have been hosted at Room at the Inn, who had lived at the Catholic Action Center, who called Phoenix Park their home, are going to be on the stage at the Opera House Friday night. And I'm telling you, they've got a story to tell, and that's the key. Each and every one of the 1,580 people that are named as homeless in Lexington, Kentucky. Each and every one have their own sacred story. Each and every one has their own sacred light. So I invite you to come and join in, because you're missing something good. I don't want to be a Tom Sawyer, but the truth is we get to have all of that grace every day of seeing and knowing and connecting to men and women who I never, in all my years, thought I would be calling my friends. But I'm telling you, they are. Thank you. Questions for Jenny? As far as the nuisance ordinance, that was a question. I'm going to tell you right now, it's not going to cause us any problem. Lexington's too good a town. We are not, nobody's going to allow, just because there are people lined up in front of the community inn, a billboard for the fact that there's poverty in this town, scaring people. It's not going to happen. Now, could it? Sure. We have attorneys. The bottom line, it's unconstitutional the way it is. You know, they know it. We're talking about it. But, I mean, the biggest, most important thing is that we recognize that there are people who are the lost souls of our community, who are those with addictions and mental illness that are not being served. And if we can't serve them, if we can't reach out as we're commanded by Matthew 25, I mean, we don't have a choice. That's the deal. We as Christians don't have a choice. You all know that. You see them every day. You all welcome them at the Rock. I know who comes here for showers every day. They tell me when they check in, oh, no, I went to the Rock. You all are a wonderful light in this community, by the way. I don't, you know, I love what you're doing because what you're doing is keeping it alive, keeping that gospel message alive by looking at who you are and what you're doing. And that's beautiful. So, I mean, I'm just so proud to be here. But anyway, nuisance ordinance isn't going to bother us. If somebody asks you for money downtown, That was another question. What should you do? I'm hungry. Please give me something. And you're thinking, oh, wait a minute. You know, Jesus said, when, you know, did you see me hungry and not feed me? Don't you dare hand me money. Hand me, keep a package of NABs and a card in it. In fact, the street cards, you all have those. You all should publish them in your bulletin or whatever, so people can say, here are the different meals. Go to them, and here's something for you to eat. Handing people money is not the solution. Handing people money is so they can drink, and they can do other things. For, you know, you'll be shocked at how cheap it is to get crack. I mean, you'll be shocked even more how cheap it is to get the Zoom, the newest drug that these young folks, and we're seeing a lot of young ones, get on. They think it's not illegal yet. They're trying to make it illegal. And it makes our mentally ill folks psychotic, and it makes those who are just trying to get high mentally ill. It's really scary. For a couple of bucks, they got it. So, I mean, I'm not trying to say that to scare you. If they need a bus ticket, we buy them a bus ticket. We work with you all. We work with Maxwell Street, whomever. A bus ticket could be made non-refundable. Anything they need, we don't give money because we don't have money. But that was the best thing that ever happened, because as we delved in and spent more and more time, we found out that's the easiest way. We all feel better. I did what Jesus said. He said he's hungry. I gave you a dollar. You know. As Mother Teresa said, their hunger is much deeper than for food. And it's that connection. So if you can send them to one of the places, send them somewhere, send them to adult services, to the Lighthouse, to Catholic Action Center. There's going to be a new day center open. Send them someplace. And if it's on the weekend, we're open. Don't say, oh, nobody's open on the weekends. Or don't let them tell you that. Say, oh, no, they're open 7 days a week. We are the only place that is 7 days a week. You can either say Community Inn or the Catholic Action Center. But don't, I mean, money, and I know they hate it when I say this, and even the folks in the play always talk about it. They say, quit telling everybody not to give us money. You know, I would do it. And I said, I know. And that's the point. You're lying to them for what you want. Now, if they come up to you, I really need a drink. Will you give me $2 so I can get a big beer? And if you want to give me $2, that's your business. You know, it totally is. But please, you know, giving money to folks on the street turns them, you know, doesn't, for some people, it doesn't make them stop and see what they really need. It doesn't make them come to Jesus. For others, it is such a band-aid, and it just disconnects them more from humanity. They've lied to you, and you took it. It's another disconnection. What we like to call it is an occasion of sin.
Susan, you have a question?
Neighbors have not been the one complaint that had as many complaints. A couple of people would. But we were disconnected more from them as the center grew. We had more people at the center. We have God's Net and 7th Street where people can, we have clothing and household goods and furniture we give to people. We have a laundry service. I mean, we're growing, okay? We have grown a lot. We're not growing anymore. Don't want any more keys. But we have... So we were not as actively involved with the neighbors. We used to have, before we had a one night a week where we invited the neighbors to come share meals with the homeless or with our folks at the center. Well, we reinstituted all that, and we said to them, I mean, we've always been doing a meals, we call it our meals on feet, not meals on wheels because we don't have the wheels. But we've always had older folks in the neighborhood that we have carryouts for. Because there are a lot of, the neighborhood where we are located is the highest crime, lowest income area in Lexington. I'm going to have to probably change that soon because the statistics are showing the crime's gone down so much. Bluegrass Aspendale's gone. When we got that building, it was because it was in the highest crime, lowest income areas where people needed us. And now we've been doing things like raking leaves. We've planted trees over the years. We've always had different outreach to the neighborhood because we feel like that our guests at the center need an opportunity to give to others. The joy we get out of giving, why should we be the ones, you know, we need to give them that joy also. So, yes, we've been doing a lot with that. And it's, you know, we've had some wonderful meetings, and humans are humans, and we'll never do it all right, and we absolutely don't think we do. But we do know that we did make, it was an error in not being as outward to our neighbors the past 4 or 5 years. When we moved the offices of Catholic Action Center over to 7th Street, that's when that happened.
Thank you, Jenny.
Okay. Timekeeper.
Timekeeper. Somebody's got to do it. And if any questions come to mind, Jenny will be here after the program to answer more questions. Our next speaker is Susie Basham, who I ate dinner with. Found out we're both married to engineers, so we commiserated about that. She's the development coordinator for God's Pantry Food Bank. She's been there for 8.5 years. She wears many hats at the food bank. She is the event coordinator, and this is their busiest time of the year. And she was telling me at dinner that they just did the basket brigade, and what they did was put together Thanksgiving boxes. And she said they put together 4,721 boxes with 350 volunteers, okay? And they did it in one day, okay? She also told me that in the next Monday, between Monday and Tuesday, next week of Thanksgiving, they'll give out 5,400 food boxes. So there is a growing demand. She's also currently planning the Super Bowl of Caring that will challenge young among the young groups at Super Bowl time. She also does events such as, you've heard of the Taste of the Bluegrass that supports God's Pantry, Golf for the Hungry, and Burgers and Bikers. She is also the faith liaison for God's Pantry, and she works with many faith-based organizations. She told me she is a member of Hill and Dale Church, and she is celebrating her 23rd anniversary next week. Her husband's in Tupelo. I don't know if he's going to be back by then or not, and she has 2 children in college. So with that, here's Ms. Basham to tell you about God's Pantry.
I didn't know when I got married on Thanksgiving weekend that I'd be working at a food bank, and our food bank would be, our busiest year would be Thanksgiving. So, and unfortunately this year I get to cook. That's my Thanksgiving happy anniversary present. So I want to thank you all for having me here, and Jenny, it's just, I have so much awe of what the Catholic Action Center does, and they are so fabulous with what they do, and we thank you so much for all you do. She knows the food box as well, because I think, what, you get 200 of them?
We have over 212, I think, this year, sure, going into the people living in our houses.
Yeah. So just a little bit about our history first. God's Pantry Food Bank, we like to say we're started with one, and it just takes one. Because one person, her name was Mim Hunt, 56 years ago. A lot of people around here know her. She was a fairly well-off person here in Fayette County, and she moved to New York and when she got married, and she was living there. We started working with settlement housing and saw some of the worst poverty she'd ever seen. Well, she lost her husband in the war, came back to Lexington, and had her eyes opened. And we got the chance to talk to her. Our CEO got to talk to her and said, "Do you think you changed, or do you think Lexington changed?" And she said, "No, I changed." Because the poverty was already there. She just didn't see it, hadn't seen it before. So she started collecting food in the back of her car, and it moved to a garage down at downtown, at a church downtown, and then moved to a little bit bigger church, and then moved into the first pantry. People started calling it Mim's Pantry, and she said, "No, this is not Mim's Pantry. This is God's Pantry." And that's how we got our name. And that's what we're very proud of, and that's what we hold on to. Since then, we have grown quite considerably from that little humble one-person operation to now we are the emergency food box program here in Fayette County, which most people think of when they think of God's Pantry. They think of the emergency food box program. We have 5 locations. Most of them are here downtown area, but we also have one out on Alumni Drive. It's St. Luke's United Methodist out there. And then also in Gardenside area, which is a very high poverty area now in Gardenside. We're very strategic on where we put our pantries because we want people to be able to get to them. And a lot of times they don't have transportation. They come on foot, pushing carts, things like that. So it grew to that. When I started 8.5 years ago, we averaged about 800 households a month. That's households. No, it's not people. That's households. In August and September, we hit a spike that we were not expecting. We thought that the economy had kind of, you know, leveled off a little bit. Well, we were wrong. And in September, August and September, we served 2,000 households each month, which is a considerable jump. I never thought we would be doing that. Like they said, one of our biggest giveaways a year is our Thanksgiving giveaway. When I started at God's Pantry 8 years ago, that was one of my favorite things I got to work with. I got to go in the pantries because I am kind of disconnected with working with the clients because I work more on the fundraising side of it. But I love being able to go in and work in the pantries. Well, it was just 2 locations. It was Broadway Christian Church, and at the time we were doing it out of Central Christian Church too. And it was fine. We'd have the long lines and everything, but it was nothing like it is now. This year we had referrals for 5,400 folks. We made 47, I know that number well, 4,721 boxes on Saturday. And then we have product for more boxes to be able to be made as we get closer to that. But as people are signing up for the pantry boxes, the deadline is actually in October because we have to order all the food and everything that goes into it. People miss the deadline and everything, so they will call and they need a referral, what we call a referral. We still have boxes for them. We have emergency food boxes, and we'll probably give out 500 to 600 of those boxes those 2 days as well. So when you put those two together, it's over 5,000 boxes that will be given out to Fayette County alone. Now, most of the time, the clients that we serve are what you would fall between the cracks. Our normal client is somebody that maybe is a single mom who is just trying to get by and he has more month than money. Maybe it's somebody that's been disabled and living on SSI and just cannot pay for their medication and pay for food. Somebody that made $30,000 a year last year and was laid off. Never thought they'd be here. I talked to my dental hygienist, actually. She was cleaning my teeth, and you know how they always ask you questions when they clean your teeth? And you're supposed to be able to answer, and you're... So she's cleaning my teeth, and she said something, and my dentist actually has known me a long time, and she goes, oh, she works for God's Pantry. And she stopped, and she pulled her hands out, and she's like, you work for God's Pantry Food Bank? And I said, yes, I do. Are you going to hurt me? Because I'm a wimp at a dentist. But she was like, I give to you all. And I was like, oh, that's great. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And she goes, no, you don't understand. My husband passed away 3 years ago. And I said, okay. And she said, I was a stay-at-home mom. My husband had a heart attack, passed away, totally unexpected, never expected this. I had two toddlers. I didn't know what I was going to do. I only have my mom here in town, and that was it. So I decided to go back to school to become dental hygienist so that I could be able to work a couple days a week and be able to do my to still be home with my kids, my younger kids. She said, I couldn't have done that without you, because there was many times that I had to choose to pay tuition to be able to go to school to better my life or buy food for my kids. But because of God's Pantry, where we were able to meet that gap, and we were able to help her get back on her feet and be able to be where she is now. And I always get really choked up when I tell that story, but it is very true. But anyway, that's a little bit about what we do in Fayette County. we're a little different than a lot of the agencies here in this area, because we aren't just the emergency food box program here in Fayette County. We are also the regional food bank. And the difference between a food pantry and a food bank is where most people get tripped up. The food pantry, which is what I was talking about with the, everybody sees the blue barrels where you put your, when the kids hound you for the Kids Helping Kids food drive and you put your food in the barrels. That's the food pantry, and that's the emergency food box program. But we also are a food bank. And with the food bank, we serve 50 counties. Basically, you go I-75 south and east, and those are all of our counties. We serve 12 of the 25 poorest counties in the nation are in our area. They did a survey, which I have a report up here if anybody wants to see it, but they did a survey, it was fiscal year 10, where went in and just talked to the people in the different counties, and we found that we were serving somehow, some way, in one of our agencies or programs, was serving 1 in 7 folks in the area. Now, this is not 1 in 7 folks in poverty. This is 1 in 7 people. So if you have 7 people at your table, one of those folks was touched by God's Pantry Food Bank in some way, somehow. We have over 300 agencies that work with us. I'm sorry, over 270 agencies that work with us, and they run 350 programs. Because like the Catholic Action Center has many different parts, those are different programs. So we may have, like Lighthouse is one of our agencies, but they have a couple different programs, so there's different programs. So that's how it gets confusing with that. We are located on Georgetown Street. Our warehouse, our main warehouse is out there. It is a 40,000 square foot warehouse. And last year we moved 22.9 million pounds of food. Now, being a development person, an events person, and a former children's minister, I need visuals. I'm not really good with numbers. I was not an accountant. I need something visual. So, as we call ourselves the development divas, we're sitting in the thing. We're like, okay, we need to visualize this. How do we visualize this? Well, a tractor trailer, which we just got our first tractor trailer. We're all excited. A bunch of women all excited about a tractor trailer. We were like kids in a candy store. So, but if you take a tractor trailer and you fill it up with food, that's about 40,000 pounds of food. If you take tractor trailers and you put them end to end, nose to tail, and you start at New Circle Road and Richmond Road, and you go end to end all the way through town, all the way down through Main Street, all the way back out, and all the way out to Winchester Road, New Circle Road, where it hits there, that's 22.9 million pounds of food. That's a lot of food. But we found out that in order to meet the need where we need to be, because there's actually about 120,000 folks that we are not reaching that are in or below the poverty level, we need to be moving 35 million pounds of food. So we didn't figure that, but we just figured you just turn around and come back and start going the other way with the trucks. But so that's what we do. Now, how can Calvary be involved? You can be involved with a lot of different ways, and you are. We have, like I said, the basket brigade that we just did, I used 330 volunteers, and I'm sure there was somebody from Calvary there. We have our pantry programs, which I know your associate pastor just told me that he volunteered in one of our pantries. We are open twice a day, Monday through Friday, and then on Saturday mornings at one of our pantries. We always need folks that are there that can help hand out the food. We also have a volunteer program that we run on Tuesdays and Thursdays and Saturdays all day. And one of the neatest things that we do with that, because the way food is donated to the pantry is in all kinds of different ways besides just the barrels. But one of the ways that we get food is we get bulk food. And when I'm talking bulk, I'm talking a ton of rice. Well, a ton of rice is about as big around as that table and about this tall in one bag. Now, I like rice, but I don't use that much rice. And not many people can use that much rice. So what we have to do is we have to get that into a size that we can give out in our pantries that folks can use. So we have a program called Repack, and you actually repack it into these bags, and then they're put in the pantries. But nothing goes out of our pantry that does not have ingredient list, nutrition list, or an allergen list, because we want our clients to be as safe shopping in our pantries as they are going to the Kroger's. Now, they're not paying to shop, but they, when they go, they get to choose what they get, but we want them to be safe. So all that has to be relabeled and re-put back in. And we have folks that come through all through the days. We have a Senior Saints group that come on every Tuesday morning from St. Luke's, and I mean, they can whip through a whole ton of that stuff. It's amazing. We have children's all the way from, like, on family days, 5-year-olds up, and then on teen nights. And I know if any of you all have teenagers in here, they had to do service hours for school. We have a bunch of those that will come in. They'll sort the food. They'll repack the food, do all kinds of different things like that, because that all has to be sorted and repacked and put into the right areas to get back out to the agencies so the agencies can use them in a timely manner. So there's all kinds of different opportunities for Calvary to get involved. One of another program is our backpack program, and I'm going to finish on that. We have a fabulous backpack program here in Fayette County. Most kids in Fayette County that are on free and reduced lunch, when they go home on the weekend, they may or may not have food to eat. When they go home, a lot of times the food that they're getting is they're getting from the pantries, and may or may not have that. Their only meal of the day may have been that hot lunch that they got at school. So what we do is on Fridays, each child will get a backpack full of nutritious snacks, kid-friendly snacks, that they can have throughout the weekend to be able to hold them through. Things like Chef Boyardee mini meals, pudding cups, things like apples, applesauce, things that are shelf-stable, but that they can have throughout the weekend so that they do have food on the weekend or on, like, Thanksgiving. When they go home for Thanksgiving, that's a longer time, so like get more time. Well, we have a bunch of different churches that will adopt a school, and they will help pack those backpacks and help getting them over there to be able, so the family resource centers can get them out. So that's another way that a lot of the faith-based and faith organizations and different things can get involved and help with God's Pantry Food Bank. I've said a lot of statistics. I know that I'm not really a numbers person, but there's a lot of things in there, and there's a lot of information. I just want to thank you guys for helping us out and for having me here and for having me be able to talk. And if you have any questions, I'll open it for questions.
Susan, I know the Crop Walk.
Yes, ma'am. The Crop Walk is another event that I work with. Of the Crop Walk?
Through other areas?
We are very diverse in the way we get money. We get through events like what I do. The Crop Walk is a walkathon. I know Calvary has had several walkers in that. We also have Burgers and Bikes, which is something that it's actually with the Harley-Davidson store. It's a bike show, and it is a really good. Those are the best folks in the world. I love those guys. They are awesome. And they are wonderful to us. Different things like that. We also have individual donations. We get grants. We have a fantastic grant writer who Jenny would like to steal, but she can't have her. And we do corporate donations. We have individual donations. We do get some money from the government for our commodities program that we actually facilitate for the state and for the nation through national. So,
the ton of rice.
It's a good question. We are actually part of what's called Feeding America, and you guys may have heard some of the Feeding America things. If you watch Super Bowl, you'll hear it a lot too. They, through a system with the big producers like P&G and Conagra and things like that, they'll actually donate that, and it's donated in bulk. Well, the food's donated, but we have to pay the freight to get it here. So that's where our money really comes in.
Folks, I mean, in some of the European countries, they actually do this, and I say this a little joking, but not really. We always say people would quit adopting pets and adopt folks who need help. The mentally ill, particularly, families have had to disconnect. It is impossible. Eastern State doesn't take folks. Everybody thinks there's a system that takes care of every problem. There isn't. And that can be the most frustrating. We have many of them that are in our housing, but we need mentors for them. We have good faith people that will go. We have medical people that do it. But they really need families. So, I mean, what's the solution to that? I don't know. They honestly need, we have to change some of our systems. And I think that that's the key. Many of us lived in the time when institutionalization did occur, and it seemed cruel and inhumane, so they stopped it. It may be less cruel and less inhumane than having folks live in the bushes and, you know, being the psychotic who, unless they will connect, we can't force it. So really putting our arms around the homeless who are mentally ill is the biggest, absolutely, the biggest travesty. Those, and many of them are veterans. Many of them are veterans suffering from PTSD. We have started a new homeless veterans program. I never understood it. And many of you may be veterans and understand it totally. It's been a shock to see. But the communities of these veterans now, they're healing together. It's beautiful to watch, but they needed community. Our other folks who have cycled down, there's not going to be an easy answer at all. So that's the biggest, you know, to me.
Susie? I would say for God's Pantry, with our biggest thing is getting people to understand that we aren't the scope of what we do, and to be able to tell that story. And then also, we have 12 of the poorest counties in the nation in our area. Well, in those counties and also in Eastern Kentucky, because there is such poverty and everything, there is no pantry systems. So we're having to go in and build the pantry systems and show them how to do that. So that's something that we're really working on, and being able to go and show people how to start a pantry system, show churches how to start a pantry system, things like that. So that's what we're a big need right now.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, is it quick? Brian is itching to stop. Go ahead. Go ahead.
She's asking a fundraiser that.
Yeah.
Both. The one thing that's getting ready to start, and your youth minister will hear it from me a little bit more, is our Super Bowl of Caring. We are always in desperate need of canned goods, especially shelf-stable protein, which is like peanut butter, dried beans, canned ham, Spam, tuna fish, that type of stuff, is always a need. Our food bank, food drives, only will fill our pantries for 2.5 months. That's the entire year of food drives. Only fills the pantries for 2.5 months. On the other hand, money, if you give God's Pantry $10, we can turn that into $100 worth of groceries because of our buying power. So, both. There's your answer.
Thank you. And as I said, they'll both be here after the program. It's now Brian's turn. You don't have much time, Brian.
I promise. Jenny and Susie, thank you very much for coming, and it's a blessing for us to partner with you all and serve with you all. So we thank you for sharing tonight. Ben has asked me just to share a few things that we do here at Calvary to help out with the lower income families and the homeless. So I have a list here, about 10 or 15 things. We'll breeze through this quickly. First, We have started our Room in the Inn season. That started 2 weeks ago. November through March, we house up to 15 homeless men each and every Sunday. We have a great time of fellowship, and then we break off. This room is full of cots, and we have they sleep, and they have a great night. With this, I'm asking a request. We do need more blankets and more pillows, and we need that as soon as possible. So if somebody after this could come say, I could give, we need up to 4 or 5 blankets and pillows. If you could come see me with that, that would meet a great need, even for this upcoming weekend. Any size Elizabeth, any size blanket? Okay. Every Monday through Friday from 6 in the morning to 8 in the morning, we offer showers to the homeless. We average 14 to 16 each and every day. Back in September, we bumped up to 28 a day. And that's in 2 hours trying to run them through. So that's a great ministry that we have to offer people to get clean and to feel good about themselves. This summer, the month of July, we grilled hamburgers and hot dogs for the homeless to come in and eat. It was a great time of fellowship out there in the green space, and I'm looking forward to doing that again this summer. Our Mission Blitz Day in this very room right here, we fed 160 people. We call it the Agape Feast. It was a great meal. Portofino supplied the pasta. Elkhorn Association, they brought in the salad, and Tammy fixed the desserts for everybody. It was a great day of fellowship. It was really nice. We host the Super Bowl party with the Elkhorn Association each and every year, and this room is packed. It is a great night. My biggest fear is someday the Bengals, they're going to make it to the Super Bowl, and I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be at home watching the Bengals play. That's wishful thinking, I guess. Yeah. We give out, on average, about 115 sack lunches each and every week. We do that every Tuesday and Thursday. It can go up to 150 at certain times. On Mondays, the Hope Mobile is in our parking lot. Every Tuesday and Thursday throughout the whole year, we go to the God's Pantry satellite out at Alexandria. We have 13 different groups that participate in that. So between deacons and family groups and Sunday school classes, we have 13 groups that every Tuesday and Thursday is covered out at God's Pantry. We have a clothing closet right over here for the women from the Chrysalis House. We offer that. From the shoes that you all gave last year, we have a shoe ministry that we're giving the shoes to whoever comes and needs it. That we get more requests than that than what you would realize. Each and every day, both offices, we are asked for socks, toothbrush, T-shirt, bus passes, Kroger cards, any of that stuff. And if you want to donate anything, I'll throw towels and washcloths in on that also for our shower ministry. I promise you, each and every day, people come in and ask for that, and we try to meet the needs all the time. Then we just have the privilege to build relationships. Each and every day, each and every hour, both offices, we have people coming in, and we know individuals who come in. We've been able to help men and women move into homes. I know John Robert has taken a couple of them fishing just for a day out to do that. A lot of positive things happen here, building relationships. This year, we're having 172 families in our Christmas project. Our High Street Neighborhood Center, they offer child care for lower-income families. Upward basketball, 60% of our upward basketball are scholarship people, lower-income families. So each of these are mission here to our lower incomes. Now, each and every day, we get phone calls for food, shelter, clothing, medical expenses, and transportation. A lot of Greyhound bus tickets to go back to family or go someplace else. We get asked that each and every day. So these are areas of ministry that we are able and blessed to offer to those here in our community. Mission Lexington, the dental clinic, and the medical clinic, wonderful ministries. Our dental clinic has a year-long waiting list. They're doing a fabulous job, and our medical clinic is doing just as well. And ministers are getting together from all the churches who sponsor Mission Lexington, and a lot of good things are going to come out of that, and we'll hear more about that next year. So that's just a quick list of what we do here at Calvary to help out. And you know, I'm very blessed to be part of that, and we are thankful to be downtown to be able to serve that. Any quick question, any thought for me? If not, I'm going to turn it over to Bob. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Thank you, Brian. We appreciate that. And I appreciate the fact that the church has seen the need to have a minister to missions. We have not always had that position on our church staff. It's a vitally important, more and more so important component of who we are to be at Calvary Baptist Church. Been asked to announce that the play that Jenny talked about, and the name of that is...
Please Don't Call Me Homeless. I don't call you homed.
Okay. Thank you. 8 o'clock Friday night at the Opera House. And there's some little hands. It's free. You can come and learn more about that. But thank you for coming. We have, hopefully, ladies, this is okay with your permission. I'm asking forgiveness. If not, we've recorded this so that we can use this in our church so we can kind of spread the word more and more about this important part of our Faith Forward program. You have heard through the Sunday school lesson, you have heard tonight, you've heard through Brian, many, many ways that you can be involved. There is a way for every member of Calvary Baptist Church to minister to the marginalized and the homeless. If that is your gift, if that is something that God's put a burden on your heart, whether it's finances, whether it's volunteering, see Brian. We have a place for you. These ladies have a place for you. There is no excuse for us not to get involved. We need to do that. That's part of what this is about. So I want to thank you for being here. There will be two other faith forums a little bit later on, right after the first of the year. We'll be telling you about that. One of those will involve the University of Kentucky. What does it mean to be a college student? Not necessarily those who go to church or don't go to church, but what does it mean to be a college student? What are some of the struggles? How can we even do more than we're doing? We're doing a great job. We have a tremendous college ministry, but that's going to be one area, so we'll look at some more. With that, if you will stand, I'm going to pray, and Jenny, Susie, on behalf of our church family, thank you. God bless you for all that you do. In the name of God, we appreciate it. And they're going to stick around. If you want to speak to them, come up to the front. Let's pray if we might. Remind us, oh God, that we are not called to judge, but we are called to love in your name. And we give thanks that there are organizations like God's Pantry, Catholic Action Center, the Community Inn, that there are individuals like Susie and Jenny who respond to the call of Matthew 25. May we likewise do the same. In the name of Christ, amen.